The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
I suspect many of you will want to get in touch about what is up for discussion now. It is the assisted dying legislation that is going to be recommended by the Joint Committee on Assisted Dying. This was an Oireachtas committee that looked into this issue, and the recommendation is going to be coming tomorrow. We know what is going to be in it, though. They will recommend that both assisted suicide and euthanasia be introduced in Ireland, and it would apply in limited circumstances to a person diagnosed with an illness or a medical condition that is incurable, irreversible, progressive and advanced and will cause death within 6 months, with a 12-month time limit for neurodegenerative conditions. That is apparently what is going to be the recommendation. We will see it in all its detail tomorrow. But with me in advance to discuss, Dr. Brendan O'Shea, a Kildare GP and Assistant Adjunct Professor in Public Health and Primary Care at Trinity College Dublin, and David Quinn, columnist with the Irish Independent and head of the Iona Institute. You're both very welcome, folks, and thanks a million for joining us. Brendan, you would be supportive of the government legislating in this direction. Is that true?
That is correct. And numbers of us are. It's a really important issue. It's not an easy issue to work through or to discuss. But certainly people in general practice, GPs, we are with people from when they get their diagnosis through a period of several years. And people's conditions change, and in any given year, numbers of our patients will die. That is, I suppose, a reality that we see in practice. It should be said, we're very lucky in Ireland. We do give out about our health system, but our average life expectancy is among the highest of most affluent societies. And across the country, we do have really very good palliative care. But we do understand that in a small proportion of all cases of the 35,000 or so people who die here each year, in a small proportion of those, things become very difficult, and not all symptoms can be effectively or reliably treated or alleviated with palliative care. So really, that's, I suppose, the position that those of us who advocate for this choice, that's the position that we're often coming from. Then there's also a personal angle on it. Having done over 30 years in practice, I know that if I found myself in a number of particular situations, personally, I would want the choice for myself. But that would be my own perspective on it. Our group is Irish Doctors Supporting Medical Assistance in Dying, www.made.ie, and it's set out on the website the perspectives of the practitioners who are members of that.
David Quinn, I mentioned, is with us as well. David, you would have misgivings about this. We've talked about it before. What are those misgivings?
Well, I find it very interesting, Kieran, that so the people who deal with dying patients every day, it's their job, or the palliative care doctors. And they're also the group that is most likely to be against allowing euthanasia or assisted suicide, under any circumstances whatsoever. And they were extremely articulate when they appeared before the committee on this issue, because the committee heard from many, many people over the last probably year or more. And a number of palliative care doctors were in there, and they were all against allowing this and under any circumstances at all. Your Dr. Miriam Colleran, for example, saying, look, once you take a step down this road, there's kind of no stopping it. She looks at examples of other countries. But what really concerns the palliative care doctors. Now, you'd imagine, again, that of all the doctors, they'd be the ones most likely to be in favour, because they're the ones who deal with people who are suffering some of these horrible terminal sicknesses. And yet they're the most against. And I think there's two reasons why they are, very likely to be against euthanasia and assisted suicide. And one is because palliative care has become extremely good at dealing with many conditions. And they are expert in helping people to die with dignity in the proper sense of that term, which is not giving them a lethal injection. And then the second reason is, and this is what they've said again and again and again, that they are extremely worried that it'll put pressure on vulnerable people to opt for it. So what is advanced in the name of choice actually becomes a kind of pressure. And what was also interesting is, so there's this official Danish ethics committee set up by the Danish parliament. Now, Denmark is famously secular and held up as a model of all things progressive. And we had a couple of members of this Danish ethics committee in before the Oireachtas committee. And one of them said, if euthanasia becomes an option, there is a great risk that it will become more an expectation than a right. And she said the only thing that will be able to protect the lives and dignity of those who are most vulnerable in society will be a ban without exceptions.
Brendan, do you have any fears that it becomes more of an expectation than a right?
Well, I'm a doctor. I see disaster and unexpected circumstances around every corner. So I would share David's reservations. They're well-made points and they're important points. With reference to the Joint Oireachtas Committee and the process of open hearings, it was a very energetic committee. And again, we often don't see this. It's under the bonnet. But there was a lot of hard work done around the committee. There was a huge amount of expertise brought to it, making points both for and against. And it's interesting that at the end of that process of deliberation, this is the decision that the Joint Oireachtas Committee is making. I think if this is not done correctly, those risks are certainly there and they're present and they have to be considered. I also believe that if we go about it in a careful, well-regulated manner with good oversight, I think the net benefits from this will be very significant and we can address the risks and the hazards.
And those benefits are what, Brendan? That you ease people's suffering, ultimately, is that it?
You can use different language around it. In our group, Irish Doctors Supporting Medical Assistance and Dying, and on our website you will see, we use the language as much as we can around patient autonomy, that people should have a choice in principle. That this can and should be regarded to an extent as a medical service, and that service should be available to people under given circumstances. And what our group is supporting is a conservative regime. I would absolutely share David's concerns. For example, in Holland and in the Netherlands, for example, the regime there, it's been running for over 30 years. And certainly the criteria have very significantly loosened. The Canadian system is interesting. The Canadians have been very meticulous in documenting who has applied for medical assistance in dying, how it's been administered and the reasons cited. And they have a very robust reporting structure. So can we do this? I am of the view, and many of us in the health system are of the view, that we can do this well. One last point I'd just like to take up, and again, David is also correct in what he's saying, that palliative care clinicians in Ireland and in every other jurisdiction are most trenchantly against this.
Yeah.
I would not agree that they have an exclusive perspective on dying, death and bereavement. I would say, and of course, this is the way it has worked out in other jurisdictions, family physicians who are there for the long haul, often over generations, generally numbers of them tend to be advocates. And this is exactly what's played out in Ireland.
Yeah.
It's what's played out in Australia and in Canada.
David, are there any levels of overstrike, any controls that could be put in place that would satisfy you that we wouldn't find ourselves in a slippery slope, or that you wouldn't create kind of an expectation rather than a right or duress on people to avail of the service? Or on principle, is this something that you could just never agree to? Well, because it interferes with the kind of the sanctity of life.
Well, I mean, it's something I'll be against in principle, so I'll be upfront about that. I'm not going to try to hide that. But I just repeat what the likes of the Danish Ethics Committee by a vote of 16-1 said. If you take a single step, you're going to end up taking many steps. And the palliative care doctors, that's their concern as well. I mean, Brendan mentioned the Canadian example. So it was introduced on a nationwide basis in around 2016, and it was about 1,000 people available that year. And it was supposed to be for the terminally ill only. And last year, the year before, it was 13,000 Canadians available. So that's an increase of from 1,000 to 13,000. So what's that, a 1,300% increase in basically no time at all? And the numbers keep escalating and the grounds for it keep widening. And this, again, is in no time. And so what they're now considering in Canada, and they've agreed in principle, is to bring it in for the mentally ill, those with severe mental illness, because they're saying, well, unbearable suffering. So you might be suffering unbearably physically, but you might also be suffering unbearably mentally. And so what they want to do is, they've delayed it now by a couple of years, but they want to introduce it for those grounds as well. So it's not a slippery slope, it's actually a cliff face. And several societies have already gone over the edge. I mean, they're not even pretending to stop it. And so here, what they're saying is, we'll introduce it for those within 6 to 12 months of death. But I see Brendan's own organisation is already talking about possibly introducing it eventually for those with dementia. And a person diagnosed with dementia could be years and years and years away from death. We had people in before the Oireachtas Committee, the likes of End of Life Ireland, And they weren't even pretending that they only wanted to be available for the terminally ill. They were talking about dementia patients. Those were what they called not terminal illnesses, but life-limiting illnesses. A very different thing.
Okay. Well, so, yeah, well, listen, we are almost out of time, but Brendan, given, I guess David brought up your own position on that, is that your position? You would like to see it expanded beyond the 6 to 12 month limitation that's likely to be recommended tomorrow?
No, I wouldn't like to see it extended as matters stand. I think it's important, and I think that
we should be... It's on your website, though, Brendan. It's on your website.
I'll just finish. Yeah. I think it is important, and I think I would be confident that if we go about it in the correct way, that the service can be delivered in a way that we can stand over and that we can be comfortable with. And the other thing I would say is I think this is an ongoing conversation for society. This is 2024. I think if we gather the evidence and consider the evidence carefully, and there's quite a lot of evidence, for example, in relation to unrelieved symptoms at end of life and the suffering that goes with that. That's part of the evidence that we will make good decisions that are appropriate for the time that we find ourselves in.
But most societies, the slippery slope is very, very real. Well, and it's happened.
The recommendation is going to be made tomorrow. And one of the interesting kind of backdrops to all of this is that unlike other kind of big social changes that we've made in this country or attempted to make in recent years, they have been on foot of referendums. There's no need for a referendum here. The government could immediately take up that recommendation and legislate for it. The Supreme Court have been very clear on that. So I think it kind of behoves all of us to actually have a discussion about it. So thank you to Brendan and David for having the discussion today. David Quinn, columnist at The Independent, Dr. Brendan O'Shea, Kildare GP.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.